The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
We are now in this weird in-between where there are shorter seasons of shows. Like, I think Falcon Winter Soldier is, or like WandaVision was like 9 episodes. Falcon Winter Soldier is like 6 or 7 episodes.
Boo.
I know.
Sorry.
But it is getting to where, well, now that is an more of an hour-long format than WandaVision was with Falcon and Winter Soldier, so at least there's that.
Okay.
Well, like 45 versus 23, you know? Like,
I'm used to 12 to 13 episodes of 45 with commercial, hour with commercials, so I don't, no.
But if you compile
them
together, like, you're getting close to where the movie format and the TV show format are getting much and much closer, as we had with Infinity War, and now, like, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Now, granted, only like, from what I understand, 30% or so of his total film was used for the original theatrical cut.
I think so it was less than that.
Yeah, so like 70% was just left over. And you know that Zack Snyder was just like, oh, I get to do my version? Well, guess what? You're sitting down for 4 fucking hours, you asked. If you wanted my cut, then you're not getting a 2.5 hour cut. You're getting a 4 hour fucking cut. Fuck you. We're gonna get into everything. And
yes,
they
all
did.
Over your face,
they
neck,
did.
And chest. So here's, I ponder this question to you guys, and knowing that you're more Marvel oriented than I am, of course, would you have rather watched it where it was they Mandalorian it and did 4 separate episodes, because or 6, and they could have in terms of the chapters, or was all at once, do you think, better for you?
I'm gonna say this, and spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched the Snyder Cut, we're saying that now.
Yeah,
we need
spoilers.
To get out of the way, because we are fucking talking about the entire 4 hour epic thing.
Is there spoiler alerts in the episode we're covering? Okay,
if you're listening to this, you know better.
Yeah,
and shame on you.
But,
right?
But anyway, I had like a movie meter that I was gonna check to see what the time frame was, and my movie meter was when they revive Superman, when they bring him back from the dead with the mother box. And I remember in the original movie, it was like 35, 40 minutes in, and I was watching the movie, and I get to that part, and I'm like, cool, and I pause it to see where that was. And it was 2.5 fucking hours in the goddamn movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that didn't feel like 2.5 hours to me. So, to answer you, Kyle, I was fine with the one sitting, because the storytelling and the depth that was added was so good, and it sucked me in so much. And again, I fucking hate Justice League. I fucking hate the original release. I hate it so fucking much. And I was bitching at Hobbit about this. We were talking about it. But I couldn't believe it was 2.5 hours. If that answers your question. Like, I was fine with only having 1.5 hours left to watch after that scene.
Yeah.
Well, and this is something we're going to get into on this episode, is something that all 3 of the 4 panelists are uncomfortable with, is telling Kyle that there's a Superman-related property that isn't actually half bad, is what I think might be happening on this episode. Now, we're going to have the ebbs and flows of like the good and the bad that comes from this Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, but we are definitely going to talk about the differences between the original release and the lengthy release as well.
Superman was only in it for literally the last 1.5 hours. So everything I talked about was 2.5 hours prior to that. That's sucked me in. So just because it's a Superman property that we like doesn't mean that he's the reason we like it. Just saying.
Fair enough.
And I'm not going to let go of the fucking Martha part of Batman vs. Superman. Sorry.
Fair. That's
sorry.
Fair.
Yeah.
No, and we will more thoroughly express our feelings on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We're talking about all things Zack Snyder's 4 hour cut of the Justice League that just drops on HBO Max. It had theater release as well, right?
It did. And like AMC, I think, released it.
I think AMC did. So if you have not had a chance to watch the Snyder cut, don't listen to this episode and think you're going to understand the plot based on the theatrical release that came out some years ago, because it is an entirely different movie. And we're going to get into the differences between the two and tons of spoilers on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
We are things that were and shall be again, a changing of the guard, the deadites marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better join us now. You better do it fast or you will be. Necronomicon gives us powder rising.
Martha.
Dun, 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 dun.
And before we get into it, I really want to get the introductions out of the way so we can dive in, because there's a lot to
there's so much content. There's so
break
much
down on this one. So first up is our Superman apologist. We of course had to have on this episode of Zack Snyder's Justice League a gentleman that I know for a fact has a Superman Returns action figure in his collection, because I gave it to him. We're talking about Kyle Smash is here.
What's up? Yeah, I think my beagle got that. I shit it out. I'm
so
sure.
Unfortunately, you were actually doing stuff to help with like hurricane relief during the first Justice League theatrical release, and you were not able to be on.
No, I know. And I listened to that. You guys, you know, get very nice shout out. It was very appreciative at the same time.
A few times.
And I will state, I wasn't apologizing for that movie because that's not what I expected to see. There was a couple of cool parts in it, no doubt, like from a CGI standpoint, but hell no. I was not very happy with that cut.
Okay. Well, I just got to add something to what I was going to say. Hey, there was no good CGI in that fucking original release.
No,
I don't know what the
shit
fuck you're talking about. It looked like dog shit. And two, this is a good point to bring this up. You mentioned the Superman Returns figure. You do know Henry Cavill was auditioned for Superman.
No,
they actually got a cape fitting. For that movie, and the fucking director ended up going up with Brandon Dingleberry.
Brandon Copycat Ralph.
Copycat Ralph. You're
right. But he
did
a good copycat. Totally,
the DC Ant-Man.
he was, but you know, he was Ray Palmer's Ant-Man, and he also got to play Kingdom Come Superman in the Crisis.
He
knocked that shit right out of the park.
Superman Returns is trash, but no, Henry Cavill did audition for that and actually was fitted for a cape, and they didn't go with him.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying Bryan Singer, the director of Superman Returns, this was one of his first of many fucking mistakes, was that right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that was a double down mistake. That was a two mistakes with one stone thing, because he stopped doing the X-Men movies to do Superman Returns, and then mm-hmm. we got that garbage X-Men 3 movie.
No. There's got to be a rule with GUI. We do not bring up Last Stand. Okay.
No.
I remember that was brought up in WandaVision.
Wait. Hold on. So we can bring up Last Stand. We can bring up Wolverine, right? We can bring that up.
Origins?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we can bring Origins, right? No, wait.
Only in relation to Deadpool releases.
I'm just trying to fuck with Hunter hard, dude.
God damn it.
I was like, that or the Wolverine?
Oh, anyway.
Okay, and next up is the apparently Origins Wolverine apologist of this panel.
No.
I think you mean advocates. Sir.
I like digital claws. They're so cool.
By the way, I also want to officially celebrate Kyle Smash for joining as being the official co-host of Geek Fathers, the rebranded of Geek Fathers.
Yeah, badass.
Yeah, that's amazing, and I'm so excited.
Fucking mugs.
Yeah,
I love the new photo.
You realize we look
the
exact same. Yeah,
new cover.
Yeah,
fun.
It's like Scotty, and then a different version of Scotty.
Yeah,
there you go.
Like, yeah, like a thinner, taller version of Scotty. Yeah,
shorter beard.
Yeah. But you can check that out at GUIPodcast.com, and we'll have that design available on our store pretty shortly as well. Next up is the gentleman that I think is part of every other show besides the ones Steven and I host. Oh, well, actually, he's a co-host on one of Steven's.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Or Ryan Seacrest of
GUI.
What's your tone?
Pretty much. From Beautiful Disasters, from the Mouths of Madness, Regular Panelists on GUI, and pretty much everything else we do on the network. Fuck You, Hunter is here.
What's up, bitches?
What's up?
Which we were talking about panelists, and if Smash was going to be on talking about DC, we had to have Hunter on to fuck with Kyle about DC.
So. My very first GUI was Batman v Superman, and I knew Kyle was going to be on there. It was my first one. I was really disappointed when Justice League came out and he was unfortunately out of town. It was a sad moment as I kept waiting. I was hoping he was going to call in or something during that.
The chickens are just really coming home to roost on this one here.
Now, that's a good tie into this movie didn't make me want to go back and rewatch the other DC properties with the ones I need to rewatch, not Wonder Woman or Shazam, but and fuck Green Lantern, but Man of Steel and then Batman vs Superman. Mm. And I'm like, okay, well, this Snyder cut, and then let me go watch the other cut the uncut version of Batman v Superman. No, I don't know. For those listening, If you watched the uncut version of Batman vs. Superman and still hated the fucking movie, this is not the same thing.
No.
Okay? Because they did not do what they did to Batman vs. Superman that they did to Justice League. Just letting you know.
And that's what I was going to say, is that this is where I was definitely cautious about this, is I remember people going, well, yeah, the theatrical Batman vs. Superman sucked, but the, you know, the director's uncut version, that's the way to go. And I watched that. No, it's just a longer, shittier movie. And so I was very cautious going into this.
Now, the man that sounds like the old curmudgeon that's mad that the kids in town finally got to dance is that's how you sound talking about Justice League, where you're like kind of mad that you enjoyed it. Like, I mean, yeah, no, it's fine. You know, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's great. You know what? You know, everybody dance. It's fine.
Is old man Quaker over here.
Yeah, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver is here.
What's going on, everybody? Fuck you, Hobbit. All right. So hold on a minute. I am actually happy to tell somebody that we actually have a good, thought out, epic DC movie. Because look, we in the past, you go back and listen to our episodes, I've bitched. I said, like, you know, Marvel's got it in the bag. All DC has to do is follow it. But that never meant I wanted DC to be a Marvel movie. I wanted DC to do DC as good as Marvel, because DC has amazing storylines and story arcs that need to be told properly, and we just weren't getting that. So when my statement about liking Justice League is, it's not, I'm not curmudgeon about it. Like, I am happy that I enjoyed it, because Batman is my favorite fucking superhero of all time.
I will absolutely sign off on that, as well as that, as much as we do talk shit on DC, and I'm definitely more of a Marvel guy than a DC thing, at the end of the day, I'm a superhero fan. And I want to see good superhero films. I want to read good superhero comics. And I've read good superhero comics from both DC and Marvel.
Exactly.
And I'm not rooting for DC's fucking, like, destruction. I just want them to step up their game and give us good material. And they've done it before with Batman. But everything else since Richard Donner with Superman has been, like, pretty garbage. So I'm excited to talk about this and to give credit when credit's due, honestly. Like, so yeah, I'm very excited to let Kyle have a comfortable DC movie conversation on the show.
Not completely shit on the whole time.
Yeah.
And the man who completely misunderstood me, but is on this, actually on the same page with me, and is also responsible for everything you listen to, Mike Hobbit Bickett.
I was signing off. I was saying I agree. Yeah,
No. You were going to say I was a curmudgeon about the movie, when I am not angry at the fact I like it at all.
That is true. No, I just like to look at you as like the furrowing brow in the corner as the kids get to dance. Like, I just,
is that a nice way to say that I'm the angry black man? Because that's racist, Hobbit.
No, angry black man is louder as a stereotype. This is more of like the quietly.
I can turn up my gain if you want.
No, we're good.
Yeah. We got Mike the Hobbit Bickett here. He is the man who inspired all of us to do our own thing by doing it himself, and that's where we're at.
And that's the first and last time I will ever be an inspiration to anyone. I don't promise. likelihood, let's say.
Like, likelihood. There's a likelihood.
I'll never be an inspiration for anything ever again. But I do appreciate our panelists here and everybody listening to this episode. You can find this and other shows on the network at gypodcast.com. If you have interesting things anything to say about this show or others, hit us up on the hotline, 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. And we'll interact with you. Also, all our social media stuff's available at GUIpodcast.com. So follow us, rate, review, all that cool shit. And let's get into the Snyderverse, I guess, or the last swan song of the Snyderverse, apparently.
I've got a question. Was Superman screams at the beginning of the movie as a prominent scene in the original cut? Because I don't remember that.
No, it was not.
But that adds so much to waking up the mother boxes because they were scared of him.
I believe it wasn't even
Smash is about to explode, so we're going to Smash.
There are almost too many differences to try to even touch on every single one of them, but that was one of the most important scenes, because that shockwave of just energy of being released was as ridiculous as that scene was. At the end of Batman versus Superman with Lex Luthor, and he's like, ding, ding, ding. He's like fucking drooling on himself and snot coming out. It makes sense. you know, that sent out the notice that, you know, the protector, the god to them, was dead. They were afraid. The mother boxes knew how powerful he was.
Yeah.
And that was, it didn't just reverberate through the universe to Darkseid. I mean, every powerful being or everyone that could feel it on that earth knew something really fucking.
Well, they show Cyborg. Yeah. They show other people besides just the powerful that we know about feel it. You know what I mean?
I want somebody to take the Tim the Toolman Taylor voice and put that over Cyborg, where he's like, "Ooh."
So, just out of curiosity, I already know Baldy down there how he watched it, but did everybody else? I watched it in parts. I didn't know if anybody else watched it full or if they watched it in parts.
I watched it in one sitting.
Me too.
Yeah.
With pee breaks.
One sitting for me.
And I did not. I don't regret it. It was a fucking journey that I went through that I never thought I would get from fucking DC, let alone Zack Snyder doing a DC property, honestly.
I mean, I stopped for bathroom breaks and to get snacks, but I will say that, you know, I went into this thinking it was another director's cut. I had no idea just how this is an entirely different movie. This is so fundamentally different than the original. So I was kind of half watching for the first maybe 20 minutes. And then once I realized, like, this is a new movie. This is a totally new movie. I was engaged after that. Mm-hmm. And I got to give it up for that.
I'd found out prior to starting it up that, you know, Zack Snyder had put chapters in there. And I was like, sweet, because I wanted to treat it kind of like a TV movie, you know, just to see, because I was worried. Just, I'm not big into 3 hour plus movies. And sometimes I make my decision on that last hour because I'm just like worn out. So I watched it in parts. But man, him putting those chapters in there really was fucking helpful for people that like me that are like, I can't go through a fucking 4 hour movie.
It's a good natural stop.
Yeah.
And it's funny with the chapters is actually when I was sitting down watching it, my mind drifted, especially because it was rated R, which changes all of it. You know, it
DC
really
should even, be rated R.
It's just rated R because things really was said change. Twice. Like that's
the level of violence and the action, you know, just that sort of intensity. But when they did chapters, all I could think about was like, did Tarantino help him write this? There was probably be a little more curse words from Samuel Jackson, and you know what I mean? Like
there's two fucks and they cut off Steppenwolf's head. That's like it. As far as rated R goes, but
for the type, but for the type of material that it was, and just the fact that it was really the chapters, which the way that it was.
Oh, for Tarantino,
done.
It was just the fact they slowed the movie down, went to black screen, and put chapter four, you got a bit wrong, Batman, or right. blah, 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 whatever, whatever douche nozzle Aquaman said.
Let me make this clear: I'm in no way comparing Snyder to Quentin Tarantino. It was just that feeling, got like you just felt like you were
never
watching,
do that again.
There's something very epic.
You learned your lesson.
Don't do that.
This is the Hateful Six, and it's just like
it's the Hateful 300.
Right.
It's the Hateful 300.
Okay. This is Gotham.
But no way you can compare him. But it was just the sense of like you were watching a really thorough dark story, which can really fit, of course, the theme of the movie.
But here's the nice thing is that having Flash in there, not every character was that brooding bat. Like everybody else is brooding. That's fine.
Right.
But having Flash in there was great. And especially in this setting, as opposed to the Whedon one, where everybody had their little bits, it was just Flash and it helped the movie so much.
That's something I was discussing a lot after watching this movie is that as much as people that are regular listeners know that I'm a Whedon fan, and maybe it's just learning a little bit more of the of Whedon in recent time. I think it's more so that watching a full Snyder cut, some of my favorite lines from the original Justice League, even though it was a garbage movie, were clearly Whedon lines. There's one thing to say about a clear vision. I didn't miss those lines at all. In this version.
No.
I feel like it was a person who had their own vision that they tried to put it on top of somebody else's vision. And that is why it didn't work. If Whedon did a Justice League movie, it would be a Joss Whedon Justice League movie. This was a weird hybrid originally. Those lines, that witty banter kind of thing that Whedon did, just didn't have a place in this version. And taking those out, I did not miss them one bit. I felt like it just was way more concise, more fleshed out characters.
So what we got with the original Justice League, like you said, it was a hybrid. So it was like the Alien Birth in Resurrection of a fucking movie, is ugly. Am I wrong? Anybody tell me that I'm fucking wrong? That's what we fucking got.
No, also, fine. I hate that movie.
Funny enough, also written by Joss Whedon. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I didn't use that for any reason other than just to make a point. No, not at all. Anyway, but I hope there were some panels on board just to dig into the things that were cut, the things that we didn't get, and not all of it was because of Joss Whedon, but there was a lot that Warner Brothers they are to blame for a lot of the shit we got too. They're the ones that went out and didn't want to let fucking Zack Snyder grieve for the loss of his fucking daughter, who tragically fucking killed herself. Fuck you, Warner Brothers. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that. Fuck you, Warner Brothers. That was a douche thing to do. You were about your fucking money and your return, and you got less return than you would have if you released this in like two parts back in 2017. If you did 2017 Justice League Part 1 and 2018 Justice League Part 2, you would have seen a lot more fucking money. Instead of that trash fucking can that we got in 2017. So the first thing I noticed in this, outside of the Echo, was the added Steppenwolf backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Understanding why he's doing what he's doing.
He has something to prove himself. Yeah.
Exactly. 100%. We didn't get that at all.
Nope.
And with all of that said, the important thing is the precedence that this sets in terms of how a studio really can fuck with a movie, and everybody's known it. We've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, but they didn't learn. They felt they could still do it and get away with it and not have shit.
Well,
the fuck.
The precedence this sentence is that the public really does have the power because it was because of them that they were able to get this and him to get the funding. Also, it shows that time and perspective are really important when it comes to putting a movie together. And I guarantee you that he saw what worked and what didn't by having so much time pass and then, you know, getting a chance to kind of redo some things. He saw what worked and he was able to fine tune it, which is something he wasn't able to do under that gun, and they weren't going to let him. And also they didn't want a 4-hour runtime. They wanted something digestible.
And that it's digestible.
So the precedence is what's really important. And then everything else comes after that.
I had actually read an interview right before we started recording with Zack Snyder, and he's actually never watched the Whedon cut.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is that Chris Nolan and Zack Snyder's wife watched it right before it got released theatrically. And they told him, don't ever watch it. Like, that's how hardcore it was, is that literally like Chris Nolan was like,
stop. Just
yeah.
Don't.
And which makes it more impressive watching this one, because you would think that Zack Snyder did watch the Whedon one and said, that doesn't work. That's not my, no, this was his intention the entire time. So it's not him fixing Whedon's mistakes. Literally, he didn't even see Whedon's mistakes.
That's true. And he also, Zack Snyder, we all know, has a signature style. Like, you could kind of think, like, obviously when you see Watchmen or 300, you see his style. So that's, knew, like the studios knew what they were getting when he was going to be creating Justice League. Like, they had to have known that they were going to get these. So his stamp is all fucking over, along with the very long pauses in the music, which is right, very
There were some poor music choices. Yeah, I agree. I'm just going to say.
Absolutely.
Somewhat, yeah. Yeah,
no, definitely. Nick Cave definitely to Aquaman walking out there, chugging a bottle of whiskey is not doing Nick Cave justice.
Hey, brother. That wasn't... People, if you're thinking it that way, that wasn't for you. That's not what that scene was for.
Fuck off of that excuse.
Him throwing the bottle in the ocean, I'm still confused.
He's littering. He's throwing glass into the ocean.
He wasn't wearing a shirt. He could have literally been doing anything, and half the audience would have been like, yeah. Perfect.
But I'm the other half that actually watches the movie outside of just being gasmed. So that was utter trash. Still.
Yes.
It was still trash.
Now, I am interested in just how much, say, this is something that I hadn't really considered before, because I always thought it was something as suggestion and then CGI people do their own thing to it. But there were so many better choices with the CGI than was done with Whedon. And I got to say that maybe it's just a little bit more time. Like, the Whedon cut with Steppenwolf is worse than this version is better, is what I mean.
Yeah,
Steppenwolf looked better.
looked way better. Yeah.
And even the finale inside of that cocoon that they made, that bright red that they did in the Whedon cut was like so distracting and weird. And the fact that they took that away made it, I actually understood what was happening. Yeah. It wasn't just this red aura on everything.
That red wasn't just in the cocoon. It was in like the entire Chernobyl. It's Chernobyl.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
fucking Chernobyl. Yeah. Oh, okay. Really? I'm just going to call it, from now on, I'm calling it Chernobyl.
DC.
Fuck
Chernobyl.
DC, and they're not wanting to use names or whatever. The entire thing was red. And when I got to that scene, I was like, oh, it's nighttime. It's dark. Holy fuck balls. Yes.
Yeah.
And it was so much better.
I get to enjoy the scene. Yay.
But the CGI was not all saved. Okay. I'm sorry. Cyborg still looks like shit.
Okay.
All right. They can do Iron Man. They can do a lot of other things. They can make a fucking raccoon look awesome on screen that is completely CGI, but they can't take a dude in mocap and make him look good in Warner Brothers universe. Cyborg still looks like shit.
That third arm looked like little jacked. All right,
yeah,
like,
right. Yeah. It was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was a bit short around there. But the obvious differences to the movie, I will say, if we were to do like a top two or three, and we'll just start with one for me, I would say that one of the biggest differences in there, aside from giving everybody more to do, including Batman, in those fight scenes, was the battle, was the war, and the context that brought. And one of the most important things was the, you know, which you find out later on is the anti-life equation, which was the whole reason for that movie to be made, was to tell that further that story. And so that battle scene alone was the, when they, if you look at this behind the scenes, when they redid it and they and they put Steppenwolf, originally Joss Whedon put him in place of Darkseid. That was Darkseid originally, and then they covered him up, and they put that. And then that's why it also looked a lot shittier in the Whedon cut.
Yeah.
The level of detail that they were able to go back and do, really, I'm sold that. Like, if they hadn't had that whole battle scene, that would have hurt that film badly.
Yeah.
For me.
Actually, you look like you're starting to get a little verklempt. Like, you get a little emotional as you're talking about this.
So emotional.
This movie just hits you right in that.
But it's been so long, so I'm just like, I'm trying to, like,
I was just going to throw out real quick is that, like, for me, I enjoyed the first 3 hours, but it was that last hour that really, really proved it to me in the comparison between the two, because that last hour in Whedon's cut with the fucking why are people still there if you're living near a nuclear plant?
Yeah.
And aliens have taken over the area.
That all out, the whole stupid pushing a truck out of the way, and then he looks up
and
at Superman.
All that shit was so unnecessary.
Fuck off.
And this version is like,
no, but we want our deposit back. Like, why are you?
Yeah, exactly. But this version is just like, all right, we're here. Fucking take out Steppenwolf, get the box, do our shit. There is no like, let's have a contest between Superman and Flash and save motherfuckers. And all that unnecessary bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're on the ending, because I really do think there's a lot in between that helped this movie out that I hope you're going to touch on, the Flash end sequence.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I was like almost jumping out of the couch like, yes, because like they teased it when he brought Superman back, and that was actually regurgitated from Justice League, but the original release. But seeing him reverse time from the mother boxes joining was just fucking awesome.
But still
it
leaving
was fucking awesome.
Leaving enough open about time travel that they didn't fully blow their load before Flashpoint, that they left
Flashpoint just
reversed it just a little bit, just enough for the
just twisting the nipple a little.
Just the tip.
Yeah.
You know how bad I want a live action Flashpoint? Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, Jeffrey D. Morgan as
Batman?
As Thomas Wayne.
What's your face from fucking Walking Dead is fucking Joker?
Yeah. Well, it also goes to show you that this is true, I guess, in any verse, but especially in the DC universe, whether movie or not, time is the ultimate power.
Sure.
It really is. Even the mother boxes weren't, you know, even that was reversed back. They didn't have the power to be outside of time. And, you know, so I think that's that up, but it shows how big, especially when it comes to something like, you know, Crisis.
Yes.
Another thing is, I will say this, some of the best DC movies of the past, I'd say 15 years, have been their animated movies, because they actually stay with what is based on the books.
And Flashpoint,
this is probably
one of
the closer of the of the live action that actually did that. You know, it took 4 hours, but it did it, you know.
And look, there is a reason why Star Trek, Marvel, DC, all of these properties eventually use time travel. Fuck, even in the animated series in Star Wars, they used a time travel to a degree. That is because these properties have lasted for so long, they have to retcon some shit, or they have to start some shit over sometimes. Over a long enough period of time, everything is going to end up requiring time travel for the story arc in genre film, because like you can't have something cohesive for 70 years. You have go back in time and reboot it again like that. So if you think time travel's over with DC, well, no, it's just getting started with
it's
Marvel.
Just getting started.
With Marvel? Yeah. Oh, no, my friend. They got to work in the X-Men, and that shit started in the 60s. How do you think they're going to make that fucking work? Like, time travel's going to be a thing that happens, and you just have to kind of accept it for what it is. It's that Star Trek thing of, like, isn't time travel cheating? It's like, yeah, but, you know, somebody I knew told me, you know, it's not cheating if it works or some shit, you know? Like,
it's fun.
That you just have to kind of accept that as part of the thing. Like, the hive mind, where if you kill the brain, all the soldiers die. They did that in Avengers. Yeah. That's just a thing that it has to be used.
We kind of, like, I brought it up, and everyone kind of agreed that the added Steppenwolf backstory was a really good, because we had no reason for the villain to be the villain in the original one. At least to me. And but then we moved, some of the other things that we moved on for was the intro to the Flash, where he's going to get the job at the dog pound or whatever. And there's, of course, a truck driver who, why would you want the burger off the floor of your truck? That's disgusting. Anyway, he saves his girl. But there's a shot when she's flying, right when she's flying out of her car, and he had hit the hot dog vendor, and there's hot dogs in the air. Can someone please make a meme of a hot dog going into her mouth? Because her mouth was wide the fuck open. That would just make me so happy.
You have her a radar booby.
Her mouth or his mouth?
It's her mouth. Like, she's flying out of the car, there's hot dogs flying in the air, but no one managed to land it in her mouth.
Waiting for that moment, weren't you?
I would have fucking pissed myself laughing if that happened. And second, why didn't Snyder fix the fucking Flash lightning? It should not be fucking blue. That annoyed me through the entire fucking movie. It's the fucking Flash. It needs to be like a white through a fucking red with orange in between. We don't need fucking blue. It's not fucking Flash. Fucking stop. Okay.
Well, I can tell you, they didn't want to follow the TV show. That's already been done.
Oh, the fucking comics.
Color scheme.
Or the comics.
Well, I know the comics. I know. The blue didn't specifically bother me. It was that haze. You know, it was a little too thick sometimes. So when he's running, it's just like, he just looks like he's running in a blue cloud. It's something that I think he should have taken more from the Flash TV show in terms of how to do it. I think they got it down. You know, they don't have the fun. If they had the funding that he had, I mean, every
it would look so much better on the show. The show already has the system. Yeah.
I'm just still confused as to how he got his powers, since he tells his dad at the end of the movie how he's now working for that department, which in the comics and the show is how he got the Speed Force power. Is the place that he just got the job at the end of the movie. So
it's supposed to be a Flash movie that comes out, and it's supposed to explain everything.
I'm just saying,
so
how did he get it? Because he's getting the job.
We'll get to it. Okay. Right. You just sit down there, Sonny Jim. We'll get to it.
But yeah. I did say on social media previously is that I am just assuming that Zack Snyder's favorite character of the Justice League is the Flash, because it's the most that he can use slow motion and it not be inappropriate for a character is the Flash.
Oh, we didn't even touch the slow motion. That's the Flash is the only time it's acceptable. Every other fucking slow motion scene, Lois walking to the fucking memorial. Fuck you, dude. The movie would have been a half hour shorter if they had sped that shit up, dude.
It's the lens flares for J.J. Abram of
the slow mo for Zack Snyder.
I will say that they did do a lot of the slow motion. There was two cool things that came out of those scenes for her. A, it gave you a context that she'd been there, so she would already be there. So that makes sense that she would be there once Superman came back and she would see everything happening.
Still no reason for slow-mo, bro.
It makes perfectly sense.
Still no reason for slow-mo.
And I think they also had the original, I want to say Jimmy Olsen was the cop in the car.
Mm-hmm.
at least it made sense within the context of the story and wasn't just there for like some music video ish scene. Yeah,
kind of was though.
Anyway. Now, I can't remember, but does she know Superman's actual alien name? Does anybody know that so they could stop yelling Clark around a shitload of police officers and people with cell phones? Like, he's got an actual alien name. You could say Kal-El, and like it'll literally help because they keep yelling his name in front of every motherfucker, and then he's gonna at the end of the movie put the glasses on. I mean. I thought they were going to AR that out a little bit.
I love the balance. Yeah, yeah. I love the balance of that. You've got like a dude who doesn't wear a mask where it's just like Clark. And they're like, oh, like Clark Kent. Yeah, no, he looks like Clark Kent because he doesn't wear anything on his face besides glasses. And then
calls Batman Batman.
Well, no. And the one thing is like, oh, that's your symbol. And he's like, oh, wait, sorry. That's your symbol. The dude that wears a mask, he's worried about like.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, it means you need to go. Yeah. Yeah.
They already assume that you're like this because of the way you move, speak or dress. And therefore they could never put that together. That's the whole like psychological sort of joke on the crowd is be like, we're kind of making fun of the people within the story for just being, you know, don't judge a book by its cover situation.
Also, it's basically a statement that everyone that wears glasses are fucking nerds and aren't good at anything. And
you see this?
Yeah.
The crowd can't.
Yeah.
The people listening can't, but I know my boys can.
Aw, that's cute. That's cute.
Anyway, so that's a, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop for our mid-episode break here.
Do we already go off the rails? Or did we do well?
We're getting fucking ready to, I will tell you.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Listen, we got a whole lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we've got what we're drinking. We've got making a drunken scene. We've got more conversations about Zack Snyder's Justice League on this episode. So stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Zack Snyder's Justice League, the new one that just released the 4-hour cut. That just dropped in 2021. Before we get into anything else, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit, the ones that help us get a little bit of cash to continue this amazing network that you've come to know and love over the close to 6 years that we've been a thing in this world. I've been recently rewatching the Marvel movies with Amy. If there are Marvel movies that you love and don't love, instead of getting the compendium of all of those movies, you can pick and choose which Marvel movies you want to own on Blu-ray or 4K. By going to Amazon.com through our link at GUIpodcast.com. That way we get credit for any of the amazing Marvel or DC property movies that you've come to know and love. You pay no more money, but we get credit for it, so we get a little bit of that cash. So if you have conflictions about shopping through Amazon, the way to feel a little bit better about it is taking a little bit of that money away from Amazon and putting it in our pockets instead. You do that by going through our link at GUIpodcast.com. So damn the man. Save the GUI podcast, put that money in our pockets, or at least a very small percentage of that money in our pockets. But we do appreciate it. It helps us with equipment, booze, storage fees, all that stuff. The better way to help out this network is t-shirt sales.
Right now, we are donating all of our profits to the Holly Fund to help out anybody in the restaurant industry in the Richmond area. It's a nonprofit that helps out restaurant workers during the time of COVID to help the amount of money lost across the board here. So for now, it's helping them, but it does help us in the long run after all this is said and done by just literally buying designs on merchandise. We have T-shirts, buttons, stickers, magnets, coffee mugs, laptop covers, banners, all the things that you would want from the GUI network. We've got, I think, close to 40 designs at this point of from the different shows in the network. We've got different designs based on episodes from different shows. A bunch of fun stuff to look at. Just go to GUIpodcast.com/store for the link to our TeePublic page, or just click on store on the homepage, and that'll send you right to the TeePublic page as well. We are constantly coming up with new ideas for logos, new ideas for references to previous episodes. That's all available on our TeePublic page. And now on to the fun stuff. The thing besides the money that helps us get this podcast going is the under the influence part of it. We're talking about the liquid inspiration that carries us through these episodes. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Of course, with virtual episode recordings of this, it's a little bit less enjoyable. The shares aren't actually shared via, except for our appreciation of them. But do we have any thematic shares for this episode?
Yes, I actually brought one.
Nice.
Maybe like the second time ever. I think I've ever brought an actual share that wasn't a Yingling or a Devil's Backbone.
Right.
But it is local. And so I didn't find anything necessarily superhero related, but it just, when I saw the title of it, of the beer, it just made me laugh. It's the Great Return.
I mean, that does kind of work, though.
Yeah. The Great Return. Yeah. And it's the IPA. I like it. It's from Hardywood. Mm-hmm. It's at 7.5% alcohol by volume. So for me, that's fine. I think I've had three of these, and I am doing just fine. It's pretty delicious.
I'm actually on the same brewery, different beers though. Not a real big fan of the Great Return. I've got the delicious Baltic Sunrise, which is their coffee porter, and then I have the bourbon barrel aged Baltic Sunrise right now of their coffee porter. So that kind of gives you the direct reference to, you've got Justice League of 2017. And then you've got Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. So the bourbon-barreled Baltic Sunrise is the
better cut version.
It's the Snyder cut. Holy shit.
What a way
to
talk
from like 6-point-something% to like right around 9. And that's literally a direct reference to the quality of film you're getting.
Enjoy your Wheaton beer.
Yeah, you enjoy your Wheaton beer. I got my Snyder beer, okay? This is my Snyder cut beer, okay, guys?
Now,
yeah.
Speaking of Devil's Backbone, there was a beer that I looked around for, and apparently it is only seasonal and may not be able to be found outside of the brewery for a lot of people. But it is worth mentioning because it is Devil's Backbone, and we are a big fan of that. They do have a beer called Cyborg Brain Juice IPA.
All right. So it's a hazy, I'm assuming?
This IPA has a phenomenal haze and a juicy hop character, bursting with fruity hop aroma, and with relatively low bitterness, it can calm nervous humans and paranoid androids alike. So that is something I'm interested to try out and is definitely appropriate for this episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what? I think Cyborg needed a little bit of liquid courage to be a little bit more talkative and not so fucking emo during the well, he was basically non-existent in the original version, but in this version,
there you go.
Conversation too.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that they actually added a backstory to Cyborg, which gave him more I don't know, oomph to actually make a fuck when he was supposed to in the movie.
But his whole,
versus
like,
the original, which he like was supposed to be important all of a sudden, and he was nothing
He was so emo, though. It's like, you know all about monsters, don't you, Dad? More like knowing how to make them. Like, he might as well.
He actually didn't say it like that, but that's cool, Hobbit.
Wait,
some internal shit you're thinking about with that, but he actually didn't say it that way. I'm just saying.
Which character had the daddy issues again?
All of them.
Exactly.
I was just waiting for Cyborg to be like, your son is everywhere. Just the limbs spread out.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
That's Dashboard Confessional.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You know Dashboard Confessional lyrics. Cyborg's emo.
I'm dating a woman 10 years younger than me. Yes, I do know Dashboard Confessional.
Is that the reason why you know them, really?
Also, when I have private time in my sad closet, it's where it really comes in handy. Wait, you guys don't have a sad closet? I'd meet either.
No.
I got a
sad drawer.
I don't
like or no. a sad like dresser. You know,
I have a
drawer.
Sad door. It's called when I walk outside. That's just where I'm at.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
But you know, then
that's
I throw
why
on
we
some like
inside and watch this movie.
I throw on some fucking Slayer and fuck that shit. So yeah, here we go.
Yeah, I'll go low down with the Slayer over Dashboard.
Yeah, but, fair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying.
Pick sides or anything. So
that was not a pairing choice with this episode, Dashboard.
Oh, no,
that
no, no. no. You're sure? Dashboard now. Yeah,
okay, cool.
Your nickname's going to be Dashboard.
Cool,
okay?
Cool. I'm super excited about that.
Dashboard. No longer. It's Dashboard Hobbit.
Hobbit Confessional.
Hobbit Confessional.
That sounds like a porn or something.
See,
or
I would,
like taxicab.
I would make that the title of this episode, but long listeners would be like, "Oh, what did he admit to?" And there'd be nothing. Like,
you admitted to Dashboard Confessionals. What you admitted to?
Admitted to my sadness closet. So,
you emoticon.
That's me. Damn. So, Hunter, are you drinking on anything interesting or
just Superman colors? I mean,
yeah,
you know, PBR.
PBR. I'm drinking on something that Loder and I joked about recently on another episode is I am white clawing the situation right now.
Yeah. No, wait, I've been getting joked on that for like almost 2 years now. And fuck you, buddy. That's all I got.
And then I did research on high blood pressure and beer. And yeah, White Claw is better.
A year and a half later. Good job.
Yeah. Hobbit. Fair enough. Yeah.
Good job.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go down that route. that's a deep rabbit hole right there, sir.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we
meat,
can keep talking about that.
I know. Yeah. Trust me. Trust me.
We can keep talking about that. That's a good step in the right direction, but kind of just tipping in the water there. Anyway.
Maybe water,
which
more,
is
more aqua,
more water, more agua.
What I brought you guys together for is that the next episode of this podcast is going to be called Geeks Under the Kale. And we're taking a totally different approach to how we're doing the show moving forward.
Hey, we'll all feel better because we're pooing. So there's that. Okay.
We're going to be pairing
the
color
water
with consistency.
We're going to be pairing yoga poses with the subject matter. Which yoga pose goes best with the subject matter instead of,
Oh, God. Can we get a video of you in the studio just trying to do yoga?
Hey, you know what?
Can we get that, please?
If any of our listeners wants to donate $10,000 to our GUI fund, I will put together a yoga video of me doing yoga poses. I will. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I fucking will. That would be...
And for you freaky motherfuckers, check out the GUI OnlyFans with he's not wearing boxers. What? Yeah.
I mean,
we got to get on that train, right?
That
we got every other social media. Can we get a GUI OnlyFans?
That is true. We haven't touched that on there yet.
Touched the OnlyFans.
I was going to say nobody wants to see that, but I know the internet better than that. Is that
exactly.
Somebody
someone wants
pay.
To see that, dude.
Somebody
someone wants to see that.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's something to look into.
Look, we'll use the proceeds and we'll put even more money back into the community. I mean,
there you go.
They don't have to know where it came from. Yeah.
Dirty money.
Hobbit.
Why are you so dirty, Hobbit?
All right. Yeah, we're definitely off the rails. Holy fuck.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even gotten back into
that happen?
Fucking. Yeah. Anyway, we haven't even talked
about you started that. I'm sorry. He started that shit with bring up Dashboard Confessional, right?
Yeah, okay. Right.
I'm putting that on your fucking shoulders.
All right. Well,
I mean, if you Hunter's kind of right.
Let's get back in. No, I actually 100% agree. That was on me, and I will totally claim.
Can I bring it back to Justice League for a moment?
Well, we were going to do that with the next segment that we're going to do.
Yes. No, I know. It was an Aquaman thing. Don't worry. Keep going.
Oh, cool. Like the
we're going to piss off
the actual Kyle of the Justice League. Aquaman.
Oh, come on now.
Oh.
I think that's like more Green Lantern.
if
no, dude, Aquaman's a fucking dick the entire movie. Like, I don't like him. He's
less frat. He's less frat in the Snyder Cut, all right? So he's not hitting on one.
Exactly. He's less frat. He's more of a fucking asshole. Like, when he saves the dude, he's like, when he wakes up telling me he should respect the storm. And he's like a fucking douche, and he's like a whiny bitch. Like, fuck off, dude. Like, when he's down underwater, Willem Dafoe, he's a whiny fucking bitch. That's more than I knew about my mom. Blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up, dude.
Well, he's whining because drywall disintegrates underwater and he has nothing to punch. That's why. He's like, oh, if only there was drywall, but it's all fucking melted. It's water.
It's funny because it's true. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Like, Aquaman was still not likable, really, in this movie. He's a fucking asshole.
I'm really upset that Zack Snyder didn't add the additional scene where he had a seahorse Nickelback playing This Is How You Remind Me, like, underwater. For all the Atlanteans.
Well,
Willem Dafoe was trying to remind him of who he really is. Exactly. So it makes sense, right?
And there's a music video cut of like him trying to get him to hold his mom's fucking
trident. Yeah, and he just picks it up and he's like, oh, and there's just like epic chorus in the background. Yeah.
He was too busy having the Icelandic people singing some weird chant to his coat.
That was annoying too, dude. That was annoying too. It was his coat and his sweater. She picked up his fucking sweater, dude. It was a wool sweater, and she picks it up and she's like jizzing all over it. It was like,
then they start singing. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It's fucking terrible.
You gotta love the inconsistency because that cut did not come out. That when the Aquaman movie came out, they were fine talking underwater, but if you notice, they sound like dolphins talking without inside of that bubble. If you notice, whenever they weren't in the bubble, it was like, like that's exactly how they talk to each other.
And British accents seem to come out in this one as opposed to
Willem Dafoe look like the Crypt Keeper? Like, why was his hair just long and gray?
Don't you talk bad about Willem Dafoe, all right?
This
was a payday for him because you know what? The level of fucking quality of movie he's done, it far surpassed. Like, dude, he left fucking Justice League in the goddamn toilet after a solid taco night. And then went on to do his other fucking movies. That's Willem Dafoe's career. Don't even fucking talk shit about him.
I'm not talking shit about him.
We will go.
Like the Crypt Keeper.
Although we'll say that it was kind of in poor taste to have Amber Heard like punching Aquaman like drywall over and over again in that scene. It was just, it is in poor taste, I think.
You didn't see her holding the Atlantean monster energy drink in her hand right before she did that?
I think for me, the best scene with Aquaman, and this isn't because I wanted this to happen, it was just the what if future cut that Cyborg saw where Darkseid kills him. But it wasn't the fact he killed Aquaman. It was when Darkseid turns around, he's got fire for fucking eyes. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's fucking rad.
Oh, his Omega
Beam.
That
was bad.
Yeah, they show the Omega Beam just fucking decimating and completely.
That was a really good
Thanos
shot.
Dusting everyone around him.
Yeah. Speaking of, we do have this next little segment that we got to do here. So if you gentlemen can pull up your info there. Cool.
Hey,
Batman. Hey. Well, we'll see. Why do you want to be
Batman, dude?
Because it's low.
Just like there's a Snyder cut of Justice League, there is a Geeks Under the Influence cut that you're about to enjoy parts of on this very special segment of Making a Drunken Scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
If Smash is getting Batman, I want to do the Joker with him.
Man, okay. Well, you called it first. Fuck. I knew everybody was going to want to do either Batman or Joker.
I'll take Desaad in the second one.
Desaad, I'll do Steppenwolf.
Yes.
So the first one, this is all from Justice League Snyder Cut, and I think both of these scenes are ones that were not included. Were definitely not included in the original Justice League cut. This is from the Snyder Cut specifically. So this one ended up being the epilogue of the Snyder Cut between Batman and the Joker, which I thought
was filmed after, too, I think.
It definitely was. Yeah. And I think was much better than the seeing into the future thing they did with the original. Between Batman and Joker, whenever you gentlemen are ready, we got Batman played by Smash, and we've got Joker
Superman
by...
Superman lover.
Yeah, anyway. And then Lowdown doing the Joker. So
hey, they're best buds.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. I've been dead inside a long time, but even if I have a limit, and if you cross that line, I swear to God, I will...
Before what? Bruce? Kill me? You won't kill me. I'm your best friend. Besides, who's going to give you a reach around? Anyway, you need me. You need me to help you undo this world you created by letting her die. Poor Lois. How she suffered so. I often wonder, how many alternate timelines do you destroy the world because, frankly, you don't have the cojones to die yourself. So as usual, I'll be the bigger man.
Reveals Joker card.
A truce, Bruce. As long as you have this card, a truce. But all you have to do is tear it in half, and I'm happy to discuss with you in any way you like why you sent the boy Wonder to do a man's job.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did.
Oh, shit.
You know, it's funny that you would talk about the people who died in my arms, because when I held Harley Quinn and she was bleeding and dying, she begged me with her last breath that when I killed you, and make no mistake, I will fucking kill you, that I'd do it slow. I'm going to honor that promise.
Oh, you're good. You almost had me.
You two had Batman and Joker, and you just like casually talked like it was the scene in Heat.
Like, hey, how's it going,
Joker? Well, if you actually pay attention to Jared Leto's performance as Joker, that's how he talks.
You did that dumbass laugh pretty good.
Yeah, it's very breathy. I don't like his laugh, but how he talks as a Joker, the breathy, non-aggressive, non-emotional voice, it's a matter of fact. I think it's a brilliant style for the Joker.
That's exactly the dialogue if they were doing it over video.
Over Zoom? Yeah.
Yeah, if they were doing it over Zoom, that's exactly how it'd be.
Batman
going
and Joker on Zoom. Yeah. And it's
make
just
no
like,
mistake, I will fucking kill you, drinks beer.
Yeah. Right. But no, that's the only reason I went breathy, because like I do, like, fuck Suicide Squad. Like, that version of the Joker where he's just that little bit more tweaked, less fucking yo boy. And I'm like, okay, Jared Leto, I see you. I see you as the Joker. Give me something.
Like,
and
show that you're damaged. Don't have it tattooed on your forehead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seriously, what the fuck? Jesus. Yeah. And like I said, he never got, like, emotional. He was just trying to fuck with Batman. So he was very calm and very collected, and I just liked that delivery. That's all.
The makeup choice around his mouth for the lipstick, it reminded me of an old Mia Bamford joke of her turning and being like, baby, look good for mommy now. it looked like a little kid that got into their parents' like makeup stash.
Well, he's handcuffed and he's prisoner, so he doesn't have the best of, you know.
But I will say,
he's probably like 4 months old.
If Leto had gone with that for Suicide Squad, I think there would be a very different conversation about
so it. Different. Yeah. So different. Yeah, so, I agree. 100%.
This is now, the next scene is from Steppenwolf and a character that was not in the original, if I remember correctly, Desaad.
He was not.
He was not a part of it at all.
Yeah. Do you want one of us to read, like, the, you know, Desaad appears in the wall?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is Steppenwolf, which is myself, right? And then we've got Desaad will be played by Fuck You Hunter. So, here we go. I'm going fucking Shakespearean with this shit. Desaad! Desaad! I call to thee!
Steppenwolf. Oh, I'm sorry.
Desaad appears in the wall of rock.
Steppenwolf, have you begun the conquest?
The world is divided. They are a primitive species, unevolved, and at war with one another. Too separate to be one. They're... free will must be ripped from them, like other worlds, given absolution in one glorious belief to serve him.
The mother boxes.
I have found one of three. The one that woke and called to me. The other two still sleep, but the parademons feel their presence. They fly. They search. They take prisoners who carry the scent while I build a stronghold in the name of his glory.
Yes, mighty Steppenwolf, who might have sat here by the side of the Great One, but undone by his self-pride.
Decide! I fall before you.
Kneels down to him.
Let me make a plea to him that I may come home after I take this world in his name.
You betrayed him, your own family.
I saw my mistake. I slaughtered those who sought his throne.
You still owe the Great One 50,000 more worlds. He will hear your plea when you pay your debt.
Mm. Stands up. The mother boxes will be found and united. No protectors here, no lanterns, no Kryptonian. This world will fall like all the others.
For Darkseid.
For Darkseid.
So, okay. Vanish into the wall.
Hunter, I gotta say, you started off as pretentious, and then you turned into clueless.
Yeah, that was pretty much just like the shitty, like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
No. I'm telling Dad about what you did, okay? You fucked it up.
No, I'm just saying.
You're talking to Paul Rudd.
Congratulations, Hobbit. That was good.
I was going for a guy at a dinner theater that is just doing way too much. Mm-hmm. That was my vibe.
I like the end. I like the end of the
for Darkseid.
The hairs on the back of my neck standing up.
Darkseid.
All right. So,
although I feel like in the movie, I feel like secretly Steppenwolf was trying to do it on his own, because in that particular scene, he takes a second and he's like, for Darkseid. But like I feel like he really wanted to be the one to take the power himself.
Well, I think Darkseid is Steppenwolf's nephew in the comics. And I think there's a storyline where Steppenwolf, he tries to take the throne, which is what they're talking about. So he's but you know, Darkseid being as powerful as he is, and the new gods was able to subdue him, so now he has to serve him and make it all up to him. But you're right, because I remember reading an article, a breakdown of some of the scenes, and one of them, they were talking about Desaad and how he does want to take the world, but he also wants to take it for himself, and he also knows the anti-life equations there, which would make him essentially the most powerful being, you know, universally.
I think that's actually a really good point that I hadn't considered until talking about this, is that not only that scene where I definitely know what part you're talking about in that conversation from the drunken scene, but also later you see when the second mother box is there and he touches it and he gets kind of like shot into, like, find out that this is where the anti-life is.
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing the exact same things power that we saw Darkseid doing earlier. Yeah. So it's like him as Darkseid being the one to have the power to create the anti-life algorithm around him.
Oh, and that yell he lets out when he fucking smashes the ground and you get the Omega symbol. And I was like, oh, he wants this shit. Yeah. It was like his primal fucking release.
And that's very understated, but I mean, I feel like that's definitely there. It's something that I didn't get the first go, but I think is definitely something that's meant for a rewatch to get that nuance of the character. I like that. I like that a lot. And also one thing that we touched on a little bit at the first part that I want to dig into a little bit more is that there was a lot of behind the scenes conversation with the Whedon version about the lack of Cyborg and his backstory that was incorporated into the original version.
Fuck me.
And
fuck
though,
it, dude,
I was joking so about him being super emo, and he was, but also it's just like, Dad, you made me like a monster. Like, I can understand. And he is actually a teenager. He's like a high school football player that gets put back together.
He's a college student. It's university. It's college.
They're basically the same.
I'm old enough that they're all
children. But
saying like 10th grader versus a fucking like you know, second year college is two totally different things.
I know. I'm just saying that I'm old enough that they're all 12 to me.
You
know,
because you're old.
I'm old.
You know, the irony in all that too is that as a teenager, you know, they don't they don't have the ability, up to a certain age, it's hard for them to process basic emotions. You know, they have a hard time really processing them. That doesn't happen until you're, you know, a lot older, usually like, you know, 16, 17, 18. So as a college student, honestly, if it happened to him as a high school student, like a younger, like 10th, 11th grade, and he became that, it'd probably be a lot easier for him to adapt into that.
True.
Life.
That's actually a good point too.
True.
Then as
but we
adult.
Show him struggling with mm-hmm. that because he is an adult at this point.
You know, all about monsters, don't you, Dad?
Mm. Yeah.
they cut so much of Cyborg out of the Whedon one that literally his dad sacrifices himself. And they're like, not a big deal.
It means nothing.
But they cut it out. They're like, yeah, whatever. Don't worry about it. Like,
well, you don't have that moment where there isn't like a full forgiveness that happens with Cyborg, but there's the beginnings of when he like saves him, which also that scene before they try to resurrect Superman is so much more important in this version where you see that they're like, fuck, we barely got out of there alive and didn't even fuck him up very much. And so that's the motivation to resurrect Superman. I felt that was way more understood in this version than the original.
When they got to that point in this version, they were like, Barry Allen was like, I don't want to say it, but yeah, I mean, I know we're all thinking it. I don't want to say it. Do you want to say it? And they're like, yeah, you need to revive the fucking Superman. And I do got to say that in the Snyder version, it was all so fucking diluted. Or just made just to be non.
Or the Whedon version?
Whedon version.
Yeah, it just didn't make any fucking sense. Like, so I put that down as a note for me for one particular reason, just because there was a reason that Cyborg made so much sense, or why he was in certain scenes when you saw the original release. It's because Snyder had this vision of where Cyborg was supposed to be placed and what his thing was, and in the Snyder Cut you get all of that. You get every single thing leading up to the final scene that Cyborg has, and it's all fucking important and it all fucking matters, and that's awesome because Cyborg is a fucking great character in DC. Like,
yeah,
Young Justice, the cartoon series, mm-hmm. I mean, you've got all the Cyborg comic shit,
hell, even Doom Patrol, the live action he's in.
Oh yeah, Doom Patrol. Yeah. Fuck. There's so much shit Cyborg is important in that it just didn't do him justice when he hits the fucking big screen, right? Yeah. Like, it's embarrassing.
And also, I mean, it is. If I was him, I could feel the insult watching like the Whedon cut going, oh what? So basically, his entire storyline is cut, and the problem with that is that. With this original version, I guess, and added stuff from the Snyder Cut, everything does have its purpose. I mean, like I've watched it. I watched it twice over, and once, you know, as a fanboy, because I was like, all right, finally, let's fucking see what we got. And the second one was like, let me be objective. And I, you know, I went through it, and it, so many things, yes, context is important, but it led into one thing that led into another, and it did it seamlessly pretty well, minus the long music scenes. One of them being the mother boxes were a living entity. You know, they weren't just there floating around doing stuff. And he was attached to that. So when they saw him connect into that and they were like, you know, this is going to play on your fears. Like, these things are alive. They're a living entity within themselves, you know, in the sense. And they really showed that all made perfect sense. And when they brought Superman back, which is, I love the way that they did it in this one.
Oh yeah, dude.
They didn't put the shitty, we're going to have a battle. We're going to be like, I'm not doing it. It's wrong. And Diana's pissed off. And they did all that so she could walk in and see him with his shirt off. Like, that was, you know, in the original, the theatrical cut, that was the only point to them having an issue with everything.
Although I'm glad they kept the Superman's head turn while Flash is coming around the side. That's like one of my favorite moments. Yeah. So,
It just emphasizes how strong Superman is.
Yeah.
That was needed.
That was needed
even in the original fucking theatrical release. That was needed.
Yeah, but so there's a lot of great things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's just weird that they cut out so much with Cyborg because literally they already planned an Aquaman movie, Wonder Woman's movie. Like, they hadn't talked about doing a Cyborg movie, so you figure they would take advantage and get him a little more in detail since they already had two characters. You already had a Superman movie. And yet they still just, the Whedon cut just cut so much. And they're just like, yeah, this guy looks like a, you know, robot kind of. And he, you know, does something with the team. It's such a bullshit kind of throw off.
Yeah. I do want to make mention, we haven't talked about Wonder Woman very much at all. But just a quick aside on this is that, like, I love how much more fleshed out that action sequence was of Steppenwolf stealing the mother box from there. And it was the first time in the original cut, I didn't even think about the fact that Zack Snyder did 300. This version, I went, this is girl 300 that we're seeing here.
Yes.
The slow motion.
About the bank scene alone, the opening scene.
No, but we're talking about when she's trying to leave with the mother box, that hallway scene was like, oh my God. Fucking awesome. This is brilliant.
Everybody is beast as fuck.
Yes.
Did you see the six packs on those ladies? I'm just saying.
Man, load up. He's all riled up now.
I'm just saying, dude. They were fucking fit as fuck. They were strong as fuck. Yeah. They were crushing fucking pillars.
The Whedon version, it felt like they were running away from Steppenwolf the entire time, but this time it felt like they were trying to stand their ground, and when they couldn't, they fell back and then still tried to stand their ground. Like, there was a lot more strength that were shown from those characters.
They were like, no, we have things in place to trap the problem, so we're going to trap them with our strength and then keep moving with the thing they want.
It wasn't like, Monty Python, run away! It was a little more...
appreciate that the Amazons actually guarded and built a temple to watch the mother box. Meanwhile, the Atlanteans pretty much just had one dude watching it, and the fucking humans just buried it in the ground. They got the mother box
2 feet deep,
as humans do.
Like, not even
we're not
feet.
Exactly.
The only ones that take the mother box seriously were humans. Amazons. Everybody else is like, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it.
Humans aren't exactly the most intelligent.
They just buried it. They're like, this tree looks good.
But
the humans are like, I have a hat made of bones, buried it in the dirt. Like, they just don't.
Exactly. Like, that's what
is
we
this
do.
Thing
we
important?
Buried
I don't know.
Thing. It'll be safe here.
Draw
It'll
a map.
Never get dug up.
Just
it's
draw
fine.
A map, you know, good style.
I do want to tie, and this is, we'll move forward, but I do want to tie into something that Smash said with how they brought back Superman in utilizing one of the mother boxes. But when they brought him back and he was trying to, after the fight, you know, where he's trying to remember and figure out who he was, and after he went back home to Kansas and had the whole scenes with Lois, when he went to his Fortress of Solitude, they do a callback, and I don't remember if this was in the original 2017.
I don't think it was
Justice League, but they do a callback to Man of Steel,
mm-hmm.
where he hones into the Earth and hones into the Earth's power.
He creates
his
own
fist
gravitation
on the ground,
or his own
and he
gravity.
Creates his own fucking magnetic force. Mm-hmm. He does that in Man of Steel, and he does that in this movie. And I caught that, and I was like, "That's fucking beautiful," because they made a point to show that Man of Steel that he is gaining his power from the Earth and from the Earth's sun in this galaxy. And they made a point to show that, to show that that's where his strength comes from. And he just puts his fist down and fucking gravel just starts swirling around his hand. And in my mind, I always took that as him coming in tune with his power source. And the fact that he is now in the black suit, he is reborn, he is, you know, reanimated. And he goes to the Fortress of Solitude, does something that feels normal. And before he leaves to go fight, he does the same thing. I thought, to Superman fans anyway, that was a huge important factor. Smash, am I wrong on that?
Well, I mean, in the way that he's been known to fly, at least in certain live action specifically, they've always, even in Smallville, that's what they showed. In my brain, I always saw it because he's so dense and he's so powerful, he creates his own gravity. He's able to break free from the gravity
basic
around
science
him
of physics, own,
which is why he can move at such fast speeds and why he can lift such heavy objects, going upwards.
Sure.
Because he can create his own gravity around it. So, that's the way that I've always thought of it. But, it's, you know, similar, like he's creating his own energy, essentially. But, the way that they brought him back, they did two things. One, they didn't rush it. So it made sense. No. He also didn't come back immediately angry and pissed off that like Bruce Wayne or Batman was there. Like he fought.
Well, that was the reshoots.
Well, those were the reshoots. And that's what I'm saying is that action scene, Whedon took some things, but that action scene was much longer, but it just shows that he was like, I don't know where the fuck I am, but this is happening and I'm going to react. And it was just a very primal reaction. Now, I did read that when he saw Lois, he sensed her and she came around. It wasn't so much that he saw Lois that made him stop and take a breath and like think, but he could tell that she, theory wise, he could tell that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been gone
that long.
18. Well,
I don't think it's been. I think it's 8 months.
8 months. You know, 18 months was between the end of Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. So, yeah, it was 8 months between Batman vs. Superman and Justice League movie.
Yeah, since his death.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, somewhere between there. So, which would, you know, be, well, I mean, give or take a few months. So it'd probably be if she was pregnant, you know, she's not necessarily showing, you know, she could be a few months into it and just really thin, you know, you never know, but he could sense something, whether it was just her presence or that, which I thought was kind of a cool, interesting thing for him to pick up on. And that was kind of what brought him back. But when he went and when he went to his ship and he walked through and the ship could obviously read his DNA and tell who he is and showed him his uniforms, essentially like the different uniforms. He's hearing both fathers talk to him. That's why, you know, it's trying to remind him who he is because of he is now the father. He is now going to become a father. Yeah. And it was just, I thought that was a really cool kind of take on it.
Apparently, in the interview with Zack Snyder, too, he said he had intentions of, you know, Justice League 2 and 3. 2 would be pretty much Darkseid taking over and kind of like a la Endgame, then they've got to go back in time to stop it. And that's 3. And Lois is pregnant and her kid would eventually be Batman.
See, now this is where Warner Brothers needs to eat their own fucking nut and just pay for Snyder to do his thing. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I
would watch the shit out of that.
I definitely, and that's what I kind of want to like tie up this episode with is that it's been discussed that this is kind of the end of the Snyderverse for now. It's not that
they said they're not going to even include it as canon.
Yeah, that it's not even canon.
Yeah, they said that. Downplay it right now.
That this is like the end of it, and it feels like when you know Arrested Development won a bunch of awards and then was canceled. Like it feels like one of those things that.
Whoops.
Like we finally got a version that was true to the director where, you know, I've made jokes about Zack Snyder, but also I loved The Watchmen, his version of it. And 300 for the time was fucking great. I think this is, even though he did benefit from having time to see how the first one played out and was able to kind of, at least with the CGI aspects of things, I think there were much better choices made in with the CGI that didn't necessarily have to do with the Zack Snyder, but I think he got to have a 4-hour version, so he got to flesh out the characters a lot more. He got to benefit from there being a do-over a little bit, but ultimately, I don't give a shit whether or not this is like him benefiting from that or not. I get a Justice League movie that I'm actually really fucking stoked about.
Oh, he's not done, by the way, because Justice is Gray is coming out. I am a sucker when stuff comes out in black and white. That's his intention, and the shot, what they've shown so far, just these little clips, looks fucking amazing. So I'm stoked on. I mean, that's why all the promo stuff for the Snyder Cut, coincidentally, was in black and white because that's the next one that's gonna drop.
Also,
so there's a black and white version of the 4-hour Snyder Cut.
Yeah, if you look it up, you can see a quick shot of. There's a clip that's like a minute 30 with the Alfred, Batman interaction when he's, you know, Alfred's doing the mechanic work that Alfred, you know, is underpaid for, but it looks amazing.
I seriously doubt he's underpaid for it, honestly.
Dude, he's a butler. Why is he doing the, like, that you have
dude, Fox, he's not a Fox for a reason.
He's
not a butler. Ability, he's not just a fucking butler, dude. He's getting paid bank.
He's got his suit on under the mechanic's outfit.
What do we do?
He's like the dad if you had a kid really young. Like, he's not, like, so much older than the kid, but, like, so they're kind of like a friend dad.
I just like having Lucius Fox in there to, like, here, I did this, and Alfred can, like, fucking keep an eye on Dustin, all right?
Hold on. So, like, there's actually a good scene in the uncut Batman vs. Superman where, like, no, it was the Justice League, where he's like, hey, this is Alfred, I work for him.
No, it's Justice
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
It's just like, I work for him because he understands who Alfred is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that was a big, to me, that was a really important scene because, like, no, bitch, like, the Alfred in this is my favorite fucking character. Without a doubt, if someone asked me who my favorite character is in the Zack Snyder DCU universe, I would say fucking Jeremy Irons as Alfred is fucking awesome. It's badass.
And we can end it off with Martian Manhunter.
Oh, right. That's
we didn't
good
talk
point.
About that.
No,
like,
I mean,
tie into Man of Steel.
He
with fucking Martian Manhunter. Why
he was
the
in
fuck
there
you
the
cut
whole
that,
time.
Dude? Why do you fucking cut that, dude? Like, dude, that same scene of her going to see Lois is in the original release, they just cut out like 15 seconds. Why the fuck did they do that?
Yeah.
That makes no fucking sense to me.
If they had run with the Snyder cut, they have potential for what Marvel did later on, which is those second tier characters.
Yeah.
Because in the Snyder cut, you got fucking the scientist that takes over then. That's the fucking Atom. You literally have the officer that's talking to Gordon, who is the Spectre. Like, you have all of these little hints, and for DC fans, know this, and that's, they've officially said, oh, it's not canon. So none of that matters now.
Yeah.
It's fucking bullshit. It's fucking bullshit.
Well, it's going to be, and the irony is that the theatrical version was Whedon, and the Whedon thing is with Firefly on what could have been. Now, the Snyder has his go at it, and it now allows people for Justice League to wonder what could have been from his version. So there is an irony that comes from this a little bit.
You know what shouldn't have happened is any fandom to have what could have been, and they just fucking
no shit
stop fucking sucking their own fucking dicks.
In this day and age,
one dude.
In this day and age now, like when Firefly came out, that's pre. Like now, we get so much shit, and so to think that like all this stuff's established and it's never going to go any further, it's kind of crazy.
It is.
Pisses me off.
But 100%, it's fucking crazy.
But just so you know, GUI will never give you a shorter episode. Just so that we cut out all the important stuff. We're going to go a half hour over our time to make sure that we fill in all the information.
That's what we do.
It's what we do. But also understand that there's always going to be another episode of GUI, unlike the Snyderverse, unfortunately. Well, both, unfortunately, for another episode of us, and also not a Snyderverse. But we do appreciate you guys sticking around to listen to us wax poetic for once, or the thrice maybe, Wonder Woman and Shazam too, as well. Mm-hmm. But it does actually feel really nice to talk about a DC property positively
and be pissed when they fuck it up. It feels good.
Like I feel good about it. Like I'm not mad that they did a good job. I'm like actually genuinely excited.
Like, great. This is beautiful.
I feel weird. I know. I want to go after the chrome dome down there.
Well,
but
hold on, Kyle.
This is like a South Park episode where Kyle's alive at the end. You know, like
Kyle Smash was trying to defend the undefendable. That's why he felt attacked.
Yeah.
This is actually like, I would defend this film. I would. Yep. I would defend it. I would. Totally. 100%.
I mean, here's the thing is, again, I said at the beginning, Zack Snyder will still be snobbed. Whatever he does with Martha. All right. It's always going to be stuck on him. I know, Kyle, you want to like say a lot
that
of stuff, but he's always fucking going to have that Martha part, all right?
Well, that part's ridiculous.
That's the Greedo shoot first.
And they didn't change it in the uncut version. It's the same shit. I'm like,
exactly.
I expected something to be different. I'm like, really? This is the turning point? It was still Martha? Fuck you. And I didn't finish it. I didn't finish it after that. I'm like, fuck you.
Later on this year, we get a little bit more Zack Snyder because it's been optioned for Netflix, so you don't have to go to the movie theater to see it. We've got Army of the Dead coming up later on in just a couple months.
Look for that.
Dave Bautista, a few other folks. There's a trailer out right now for that, and we are definitely going to try to do an episode for that as well because it's Zack Snyder in epic fashion doing a super high-budget zombie apocalypse movie. So, you know, if not GUI, hopefully GUI, but if not GUI, it's at least going to be Madness.
Oh, yeah,
I've
already talked about how we're going to do that in Spiral. So we've already got that on the schedule and shit. So yeah, we're definitely.
So definitely stick around for that. And definitely stick around for next week for our follow up for this episode, our GUI Nights, where it is recorded right after we do this episode. So you want
to hear for this.
What superhero characters we want to fuck? That's going to be the next episode after this.
So Squirrel Girl for get into you, that.
Which is not DC related at all.
Out of the Justice League, which one is going to do justice to our sexual desires?
Oh, okay.
I guess is the focus, but we'll figure it out. But thank you so much for listening. Jesus. Follow Geek Fathers. Follow From the Mouths of Madness. Follow From the Mouths of Madness and Beautiful Disasters. Follow Smack My Pitch Up and Deeply Upsetting.
Yes.
All the shows on the network. That's all at GUIpodcast.com. Rate, reviews, subscribe to this show and all others anywhere you get your podcasts, and we'll find you next time. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Thank you so much for my panel, and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul!
GUI. GUIpodcast.com.
This is Gotham!